Support for this podcast comes from Cielo. Cielo is the world's leading provider of global recruitment process outsourcing and related solutions, spanning the talent lifecycle from employer branding to onboarding. Cielo takes a We Become You approach to RPO that provides their clients with customized solutions that match industries, geographies, and business priorities. To find out more, visit www.cielotalent.com.
There's been more of scientific discovery, more of technical advancement and material progress in your lifetime and mine than in all the ages of history.
Hi, this is Matt Alder. Welcome to episode 44 of the Recruiting Future podcast. When it comes to innovation in recruitment marketing, it's really important to never believe the hype. Driving change and embracing new technologies is something that lots of employers find very, very difficult to do. One of the keys to success actually lies in experimentation and testing. And my guest this week is someone who successfully uses this approach to drive change within their organization. Heather Tongelet is Senior Program Manager for Innovation Incubation and Candidate Experience at Microsoft. Listen on to hear our wide-ranging discussion on recruitment marketing, innovation, and the candidate experience. And if you listen right to the end, you can hear me give details of a great special offer that's available for all podcast listeners. Hi, Heather, and welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Matt.
My absolute pleasure. Could you just introduce yourself and tell everyone a little bit about you?
Yeah, so my name is Heather Tongelet, and I work for Microsoft in the Center of Excellence. And, you know, for the last several years, I've been most focused on incubation programs and projects within talent acquisition, as well as candidate experience.
Could you, for those people who might not understand the term, could you just give us a quick overview of what an incubation, what you mean by incubation projects?
Yeah, so, you know, a company the size of Microsoft, you know, when you look at all of our different groups and, you know, across all of the geos and you know, divisions, there are a lot of different needs out there. And we have some really creative, bright people that want to try new things. And so when you have these ideas, you know, pop up, you want to try to harvest those ideas and make sense of them, see if, you know, they're worth doing or not. And the best way to do that is really to do it on a small scale, on an incubation kind of level. So what my team did in the past is we would take these ideas that were surfaced and say, hey, you know, we'll run a pilot program for a small portion, you know, of the total, you know, population at Microsoft and just see how it goes. We'd kind of, you know, get it out a little scrappy, a little dirty, and then get feedback, right, from the client groups, and then iterate on it over time. So, you know, one good example of a pilot program that we did recently was something called the Candidate Concierge, which was an app focused on the day of interview that we would give our candidates access to that would give them things like real-time updates, give them a slate of their interviewers with LinkedIn profiles attached, give them a lot of really great content around, you know, our company, news feeds and, you know, access to the jobs blog and things like that. And it would also allow them to give us real-time feedback throughout the course of the interview day. But we started that on a very small scale. We got all of the feedback from candidates using it. And we use that feedback to iterate and add features, you know, delete ones that weren't using when we looked at heat map data. And then by the time we wanted to go scale it and get additional funding, we had a really good business case to do so. We were able to say, hey, this is a really good idea. You know, we vetted it out. Not only did they say they liked it, but we use their input to make these 13 changes, now give us money. And then we were able to kind of have a little bit more credibility going into that broader program to scale it. So that's one example of incubation. But we have incubation going on all across our company within talent acquisition across, you know, many teams. But I think that's our, you know, a philosophy that we like to embrace.
It's certainly a very interesting way of working. I can see the real benefits of doing that. To sort of move on to candidate experience and kind of explore this a little bit further, candidate experience is obviously a very sort of hot topic at the moment. Some people might even describe it as a buzzword. It gets talked about. I'm not entirely sure everyone really knows what they mean by it. What are your sort of views on candidate experience? What is it? Why is it important? Where are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think you make a lot of good points. I think it's, the new buzzword. I like to look at it pretty pragmatically, and I think it goes something like this. There's a war for talent out there, especially, in certain pockets. Certainly we see it every day, in the tech industry. All gloves are off, and there aren't that many good candidates out there. When you start looking at data, I think two things pop to me. One is that data tells us that when you look at NSAT scores or, overall satisfaction scores of candidates, the ones that are not satisfied or the ones that have low NSAT scores basically are never going to touch your company again, okay, like in a candidate capacity. And so when you look at a very small group of really talented people, let's take cloud architects as an example. If you don't do the basics well, if you don't communicate with candidates, you don't call them after that final day interview, you don't do those basic steps, over time it just whittles away. It's not rocket science. But, it's very difficult to see when you're in the weeds that you're actually having a really detrimental effect on that pipeline pool. The second thing that really sticks out to me is that data tells us that about two-thirds of candidates that leave unhappy, that leave your candidate or recruiting process unhappy, basically will never touch your products again. They're not going to be a customer of yours. So that means that if you're in the consumer space, which, Microsoft is partially in the consumer space, every time a person looks at a Windows phone, every time they get their hands, they open their computer and they see that Windows logo, they're going to have a bad taste in their mouth. And those two things alone, I think, are really, really convincing reasons why you want to pay attention to that candidate experience. So then when we start really digging in and asking, what is it? I don't think that it's rocket science. I think that at the end of the day, the most important thing the candidates want, they want to understand what the journey looks like. They always want to know where they stand. They want next steps, and if the first path doesn't work out, they want a plan B. They want you to make that handshake to that next potential fit at your organization. And if you're with a company, the size of Microsoft or similar, people really need to have a good idea of where they fit holistically. Not on a job description level. They just want to understand, hey, with my passions and my needs, where do I plug? Where can I plug in? Where can I make impact? If not for today, for tomorrow? And so I think that if we can just get the fundamental communication layers down, I think that solves for about 80% of the candidate experience, concerns. That would definitely increase, those SAT scores, increase those NSAT scores. When you look at the day of interview, it's probably the most crucial piece of the candidate experience, because when you look at just the vulnerability of candidates going into that day, they're putting everything on the line, right? It's also the highest level of quality candidates that you have. Certainly a lot of companies piss people off, like at the point of apply, right? Because they don't know where they stand. They go into a black hole. But man, when you start messing with people at the point of interview, now you've got a problem. And so really working on managers, you know, and that assessment process, making people feel really taken care of that day of interview, making sure that they have a wrap up at the end of their day, and making sure they get a phone call, you know, within 72 business hours, regardless of whether the recruiter has an update. Those are just the really small things. So, you know, a lot of times people think about these delighters, the sexy stuff. There's so many things in our industry that we can just get right that are so basic that I think would really improve things vastly, you know, for the candidate.
Yeah, that definitely makes a lot of sense. And I think the day of interview stuff is very interesting as well in terms of the way you've been thinking about that and what you've done there.
And Matt, I have one other thing that I've kind of been thinking about that's kind of interesting. We think of a lot, I think, in the marketing realm about casting a really big net. You know, we want to basically say our company is the best, you know, come and join us. And then you have, on the other hand, these recruiters that are having to like rule these people in and out, you know, for OFCCP in the States. And you have all of these, you know, these factors where we're requiring our recruiters to spend a lot of sweat equity, you know, ruling people in and out and really assessing people when we cast such a big net. And so some of the things that I've been thinking about, at least on the marketing side, that would really help candidate experiences, you know, what can we do from a content management perspective to customize and personalize the content that we share with candidates while almost creating content gates around what people can see or the expectations that we set around content. So let me give you an example. If a candidate comes to a career site, loads their profile, you know, we set a cookie, we know who they are. Wouldn't it be nice to just show them plus or minus 30% of what we think they could be qualified for? And by the way, also set limits, you know, on how many applies they can make. There are certainly companies out there doing this. By doing that, you know, you limit, right, the quantity coming in, and therefore you buy more time. And you know, your recruiters have the ability to do higher value activities. The other thing that I think would be really cool is, I'm big on transparency, but, you know, what if a candidate could load their profile and they go to a job description and it's almost the Priceline model? You know, you try to get a car, right? And you name your own price and you say, I want to pay £5, you know, for this car. It basically tells you don't have a chance of getting that car, right?
Yeah.
Like you see the little scale and it's like red, like don't even try. You can push that button, but you've wasted 1 second of your life. I mean, I think that if we got to the level of transparency, you know, where we had sophisticated algorithms in place, you get to a deep link on a job description, and in a nice, soft way, we tell you, you know what? You know, you probably have a 50% chance of getting this job because I think you're lacking these three basic qualifications based on your profile. I think that would actually, you know, decrease the amount of lower quality applies. And it would also set the right level of expectation, you know, for the candidates so that their hopes aren't high and they're not getting disappointed. It just saves everybody, you know, time. So that's kind of some of the way that I'm thinking about it. It's not only how can we delight candidates that come into our ecosystem, it's also about how we can have a better level of transparency and set better expectations up front to save everybody time.
I think that's it. I think information and expectations are really, you know, really the kind of the heart of the problem around all of this. Just in terms of expectations, sort of expanding this out slightly, to me, one of the you know, the key parts of meeting the expectations of a potential candidate while you're doing recruitment marketing is being great at mobile, because we know that obviously a large sector of the audience wants to, you know, look and search and find for information on their mobile. Where's your thinking around the sort of role of mobile in job seeking and recruitment marketing at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a necessity. So we've had launched our first mobile site, I guess, in 2000. 11, and and we're on the path now to make some vast improvements there. But I will say that just in general, if you're asking my thoughts, I think it's critical. I mean, you look at countries like India, for example, and it's a must-have. I mean, I don't know how you can recruit in India without having a mobile presence. But I would go one step further and, just in kind of looking recently at a lot of systems and tools and career site offerings out there, we typically stop at just this idea of responsive. If we can just fit the content, to a small screen, everything's good. And the reality is that you see a large drop off at Apply. I mean, it's something like, I don't know the most recent stats, but it's something like, 20 times more people drop off at Apply on a mobile phone, right, than on desktop.
Yeah.
And that's really because you have to optimize. I mean, and you have to simplify. It's not just a matter of fitting the screen. In an ideal universe, just from a UX, a user experience perspective, as I go in to kind of think about revamping, our career site, I'm actually thinking mobile first, which is what everybody should be doing. There's no reason why, we should be asking 50 questions on desktop, right? If we can simplify it on mobile, we should be simplifying it everywhere. But the point being is that, from the standpoint of making sure that you have access to the cloud for document upload, doing things like pre-populating location, based on the position that they're applying for, parsing information from LinkedIn profiles. I mean, whatever you can do to just make that mobile apply easier for the candidate, you have to do it because you're not going to see the success that you would otherwise. But I just can't imagine that companies don't have it on their radar right now.
Yeah, I think lots of people do. I think that they're, sometimes they struggle with the how or the budget or whatever, whatever it might be that's holding them back. But I completely agree with you. It's absolutely critical, and mobile first is definitely the way to go. Final question. So, what other sort of trends and technologies are you seeing in the market at the moment that are of particular interest to you, or that you think might be the future?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of exciting stuff out there. I guess my mind has been really focused on kind of the content end of things. I've been digging pretty deep into how to personalize and customize, content. Looking at, different content management systems, different ways to build associations between personas and what they see, So one example of that is I think when a person comes to a career site, either based on web behavior or based on a profile, if they're signed in, they should actually get a view of the career site that is meaningful to them. So whether that's a technical, non-technical lens, whether that's, whatever lens you wanna create for that person, you can get as specific as you want to. But I think that whether, it's on the content level, whether it's on a job description page, similar to what, Google has done recently on their job description pages. Every job description page should have, a video of the location that's tied to the requisition. You could have a team video, right, that's specific to the job description. What you see on most career sites is that there's very little organic, or traffic coming in that's hitting the career site. It's usually coming in from third party job, platforms. So when you see that so many people are landing on those deep links, all of a sudden having that customized and personalized content is really important because it's your one and only opportunity to really sell the candidate on a job. So that's where my head has been. But I think there's a lot of exciting product. At least it's exciting for me because I think anything that can kind of make recruiters' lives easier and more efficient and add to the candidate experience are things that are important to me. And so things like interview scheduling that's automated, right, and easy for the end user. Looking into building some customized candidate, you know, portals that basically follow the candidate end to end with features and functionality that change, you know, from stage to stage is also something, you know, very interesting to me. And just, you know, setting the little Easter eggs and delighters throughout the process. They don't have to be, they don't have to be big, but, you know, looking for vendors that can just, you know, kind of create that wow, you know, feeling without having to kind of build things from scratch. But there's some really interesting stuff that I'm excited to start looking at.
Heather, thank you very much for talking to me.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you so much.
My thanks there to Heather. So what about the special offer I mentioned at the beginning of the show? Well, it comes courtesy of longtime podcast supporter Recfest. In the summer of this year, as the eyes of the world turn to the Olympics in Rio de Janeiro, Recfest is bringing its own style of street carnival to the recruitment industry, taking over Borough Market in London. It's now in its third year, and Recfest is a one-day celebration of all things in-house recruitment and resourcing. There's a real emphasis on the power of sharing, and Recfest generates one of the largest conversations of in-house recruitment professionals in the world. If you head over to thisisrecfest.com and use the discount code podcast16, you'll get a discounted ticket. Don't forget, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and Stitcher and find past episodes at www.rfpodcast.com. On that site, you can also subscribe to the mailing list and find out more about me. Thanks very much for listening. I'll be back next week, and I hope you'll join me.
This is my show.
The Jim Stroud Podcast explores the discoveries and trends forming the future of our lives. Brain-to-brain communication, robot bosses, microchip implants for workers, and artificial intelligence replacing human workers are all happening now. If you want to know what's happening next, subscribe now to the Jim Stroud Podcast.